Good morning. We're glad to have you with us again. This week we're going to be in Psalm 139. This is Mike Moody, and along with Jeff Buckles, we rotate each week looking at normally the book of John, and Jeff is in Romans. But today we're going to turn to the book of Psalms 139. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. We come into your presence, Father, thanking you again for the opportunity to open your precious word, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity to tell people about him and how he has paid for their sins and how he has given the way of eternal life to those that would repent and receive him as their Lord and Savior. We're aware of how there are many in Randolph County, Father, and all around us that know not Christ, so we would pray that we might be able to point out from thy word the truth that is therein. We just pray for the leading of your spirit and that Christ will be exalted. We pray in his name. Amen. Psalm 139. In some other studies, I've been going through the different psalms and finding some wonderful studies, some wonderful encouragement from these many psalms, many of them written by David. We see in Psalm 139, a psalm of David, we could break it into three main parts. This is a psalm that tells about the Lord and how he has three main characteristics. We see that he is also known for his moral characteristics, such as his love and areas such as that. But we see three broad areas of his characteristics. The Lord is, in verse 1 to 6, we see he is all-knowing. We call that his omniscience. Verse 7, on down to verse 12, we see that he is all-present. That is his omnipresence. And then in verse 13, on down to verse 16, we see that he is all-powerful. That is called his omnipotence. And then verse 17 on down to the end of the chapter, verse 24, we see some application. Once we see the great characteristics of God. First, verse 1 to 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my past and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. These lofty words from the outset of chapter 139 of Psalms points out the all-knowing characteristic of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know, if we turn to a series of verses in the Word of God, we would see this as a continual theme. We could turn to one of my favorite passages in Jeremiah chapter 17, and we pick up over there in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and it spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the rim, even to give every man according to his ways, and acknowledging to the fruit of his doing. The question is asked, when the statement is made about the heart being deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the question is asked, who can know it? The Word of God tells us that the response is, I, the Lord, search the heart. We could also point out, as in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, speaking of the Word of God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. the Word of God can penetrate in such a tremendous manner that it can divide even to the joints and the marrow, something beyond man. We see the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It tells us about how we're born again by the Word of God. You know, we think about this little portion here in Psalm 139 about how the Lord is all-knowing. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. We see here that David points out of how the Lord knows his every thought. And when we think of this, we think of how the Lord Jesus himself, when he was walking this earth during his earthly ministry, and he, in John chapter 4, took the time to go through Samaria, when many would not go through Samaria, and he come across with this divine appointment that he had to, had before him to fulfill, that woman at the well. And we see as he explains that he is the living water, and that she needed to take of that living water which, whereby she would never thirst again. He pointed out to her to go tell her husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And he said, thou hast said well, for you've had five husbands, and the ones you have now is not your husband. And she went off after the dialogue with the Lord Jesus and went to tell, it said, some of the men in the area. She said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? So we see with the all-knowing ability of our Lord, the one that knows our very hearts, the one that knows our very being, is the one in Genesis chapter 1 where it said, let us go down and make man. The very Creator, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The very one that's called the Word of God knows our very hearts. So we see that the Lord is all-knowing, omniscient. Then we could go on a little further, and we see in verse 7 of our portion in Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Here is the all-present characteristic of our Lord, his omnipresence. Well, when we think of this, we see in verse 7 how there is a question, where? Where can I go? In verse 8 and 9 is the if for argument's sake. Notice he said, if I were to ascend up to heaven, if I were to make my bed in hell, the Lord would be there. He's going through this portion here and pointing out of how he cannot escape the very Lord. You know, sometimes we see people who may be convicted about their need for Christ, ones who may not have yielded their lives to Christ yet, but yet they may be around ones that are believers, ones that want to see them to know Christ, maybe as family members, what have you, and yet sometimes ones will, it would seem, go another way, try to be away from those Christians, ones that may have been close to them in the past, but they don't want to talk to them about the Lord. But you see, you may can make an effort to be away from those Christian relatives or Christian friends of yours, perhaps even as a believer who's in a backslidden position, and you don't want to be around the believers because it convicts you. You see, you can go away and run away from people, but you cannot run from the very Lord God. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. we cannot run from the very Lord himself. Well, when we think about that, we can think also in verse 10, when he speaks about thy right hand shall hold me. In the word of God, the right hand represents the strength of our Lord. This very one that is in all, every place is the one that's the Almighty and the strength. Isn't it unique when you take his all-knowing ability, his all-present ability, his all-powerful ability? You must blend these things in together. We see how one works with the other. And yet, we could read on further. And we see in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Here we see in verses 13 and 16 the all-powerful characteristic of our Lord. He speaks of how he was wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Speaking of the very creation of a child in the womb. It speaks there of how he is wrought in the lower parts of the earth. We see there that reference to in the womb of how it's so incredible and how it's so all-encompassed idea of how the Lord himself, in such minute detail, every strand of the genetics of a makeup of a person, of the very emotions of the very physical being, of the very characteristics of every person, and how the Lord himself has put that together in the very womb of a mother, and then it develops. This is his example of the all-powerful ability of our Lord. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, we think of the power of the Lord Jesus. We see again, as he was walking through this scene on his earthly ministry, we could just look at the book of John and look at each chapter and see in chapter 1, as we quoted earlier, how all things were made by him. Not anything was made that was made without him. Chapter 2, we see how his power was over physical materials, such as when he turned the water into wine. Also in chapter 2, when he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. He was speaking of the temple of his body and his resurrection. He had power over death. We see in chapter 4 where he would raise someone from the dead. One would come and was concerned about someone, their close family that was dying. And then we see also with Lazarus in chapter 11 where he said, come forth, Lazarus. We see the Lord had power over physical life and death. Then we see in chapter 5 of when ones would accuse him of healing someone on the Sabbath, and we find out in other places in the gospel that, yes, this is the very Lord of the Sabbath. And then in John 6, we see again there when he says, I am the bread of life. We see how he is the one who turned those few fishes and those loaves of bread into enough to feed the multitude with some left over. So as our time draws short today, let us keep in thought the Lord himself is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. Is he not also able to save you from your sins? The one who died on the cross and shed his blood for you, his precious, innocent blood was shed for you. Turn to Christ today, we would exhort you. This is Mike Moody, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.